Well, hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to the G-Spot with Mika Ray. And, of course, I am Mika Ray. I am really looking forward to discussing this topic tonight. Tonight we're talking about we're talking about sexual freedom versus sexual promiscuity. So I really think that we can cover a lot in this topic. A lot of people don't understand what sexual promiscuity is, so I want to make sure I clarify what that is. I had a few people asking me, and sexual promiscuity is being promiscuous, and that is going out and just having sex, random sex, a lot of sex, no sex. I mean, not no sex, but just a ton of sex with a bunch of different people. And sexual freedom is being sexually free, is maybe exploring your sexuality, exploring who you are as a sexual being. So those are two different things, and I really want us to discuss those things tonight. We have Keroy and Tamika with us. Are you both on the line tonight?
I am here. How are you doing tonight?
I am well, Tamika. How about you?
I am doing wonderful. All
right, I'm here also. How you all doing?
Hi, Keroy.
How's it going?
It is going well. Are you two looking forward to discussing this topic tonight?
Yes,
I am. I'm really wanting to hear, possibly if we have some male listeners, I want to know what their opinion is between the difference between, you know, promiscuity and sexual freedom. So I'm excited to hear the debate tonight. So, Kira, what are you thinking?
What am I thinking?
What are you thinking about tonight?
I love the topic, you know, so I'm just interested in hearing everybody's feedback on it as well, you know, and then I'll give you all my opinion a little bit later on the show as well. So, yeah, I'm just ready to get things going, see how it goes.
Well, I do want to know, before we go, because, you know, I want to make sure we play some music tonight. So we will play music tonight. But I want to know, do you two think that there is a difference between sexual freedom and sexual promiscuity? Some people don't. They don't feel like there's a difference at all. And I want to hear, what do you think?
You want us to answer that now?
Yeah.
You know, I guess I don't really see a whole lot of difference. And that's just my God honest truth.
What is your definition of sexual promiscuity? What is your definition of sexual promiscuity?
See, when I think about the sexual promiscuity part, I'm just thinking about it, who's very promiscuous, who's just like to have sex, and just free to. I mean, they real free with it. They open with it. There's no thing to them to get things going when it comes to sex. So, to me, that's almost like feeling freely open just to have sex. To me, it's almost the same. So if there's a difference, please explain it to me. It could be something I can learn from. But pretty much the same thing to me. That's my opinion.
Okay, so what is your definition of sexual freedom?
Pretty much the same thing, just somebody who, the way I look at it, they just have sex freely, you know, and just, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm looking at it wrong. I'm just thinking of somebody who's just really open to just having sex, you know, with whomever and just doing it with no restriction, you know, no boundaries involved, you know. So that's how I'm looking at it.
Tamika, what are your thoughts? And don't read what I just posted.
Okay, we're not going to try that tonight because, you know, I try to stay original. For sexual promiscuity, I think that you pretty much nailed it on the head. I think that when you're out and you're visually different partners, and you know there's no commitment, or probably not even a commitment, but you know how I guess these days that I guess people have that certain person that they sleep with, and I can't even get my mind over that. But I just think that when you're just out and you're just sleeping with any and everything that comes across your path. On the other hand, I think sexual freedom has to do more of, like you said, just exploring your sexuality, being comfortable, for whatever that means to whomever. And I think that, with you being sexually free, I just think that maybe I can see that happening, more in a committed relationship. I'm in two relationships, and I love commitment. So I think that's where my stand tonight. But I'm excited to hear other people's viewpoints.
Okay, and I do want to read the definitions really quickly. Promiscuity is the practice of having casual sex frequently with different partners or being indiscriminate in the choice of sexual partners. Sexual freedom is the fundamental human right of all individuals to develop and express their unique sexuality. It lies at the heart of the promise of human dignity, self-determination, and equality, embodied in both the U.S. Constitution and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
Yeah, I think that's a long definition.
So you're going to play devil's advocate?
Is she going to take my role tonight?
Right.
That's playing devil's advocate. But I think that was pretty accurate, having casual partners and not really having, I don't know if I want to say the word standard, whatever attracts you in that moment, you go for it. So, I don't know, do you all feel that there is a such thing as sexual promiscuity? Because, others may not believe that even really exists, Some people may see that as being sexually free. So what do you all think about that?
Well,
I think that is a great point that some people – oh, go ahead, Kiro, because I want to hear your thoughts. Go ahead.
I'm guessing as far as the freedom thing goes, I sound like it's more like, I guess, one of those – a personal thing just to be really, really open to just – doing a lot of different things, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it still seems like it's like you just pretty much like a personal, what you call it, like being open to experiencing and doing different things in different ways and kind of like going against the grain and just being free to do whatever you want to do as far as sexual wise, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing, man, but they all seem to tie together to me as well, though.
I think they can definitely go hand in hand. In a sense, you can be, a sexually free person, and you are exploring your sexuality freely with multiple partners, and that
right.
can be seen as a sign of promiscuity. I think the show tonight, I really want us to talk about the difference, and I want us to explore the difference, but also let people know that it is okay to explore your sexuality. We should not have a fear of exploring who we are as sexual beings. The more fear we have, and you all know I say this a lot, the more we encourage the wrong types of sex, like rape, molestation. We encourage that because we're teaching people to hide sex, and we don't want to teach people to hide sex. So that's kind of where I'm kind of going with the show tonight, and I just really want to hear other people's thoughts, and I hope everybody joins in. Right now I'm going to play Milkshake by Khalees. I think that's going to be a good song to kind of start off the show, and then we will come right back. Okay, so welcome back, Bedroom Playmates. So we're back, and tonight you are listening to the G-Spot with Mika Ray, and we have Tamika and Kira on the line as well. And tonight our show is on promiscuity versus sexual freedom. Are you two there?
Yeah, I'm
here. I am here.
Okay. I feel that song was so, like, telling of, I think it fit the topic so well.
Well, I want to know, I have a question. When you're thinking about, you know, sexual freedom, I wonder about, like, the spiritual component, I guess exploring yourself that, you know, that's not, I guess most people wouldn't find, I guess, normal or, you know, cookie cutter. You know, what do you all think about that as far as, you know, exploring your sexuality on a spiritual level?
You know what? It's funny you mention that because a lot of people do take that serious, you know. For example, I know this couple who really just do things, they don't do anything that's unnatural as far as sex is concerned because of that. You know, they just do the regular thing. They don't really do the oral. They don't do, you know, nothing that's out of the ordinary. They just do it just a regular remission type deal, you know. So it's interesting you bring that up because that does play the role in a lot of different relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't have it, though. I mean, if I'm going to be somebody for the rest of my life, there's going to be some freedom in there. We have to do some things, you know.
I cannot with you. But, I mean, you actually make a good point, and I think that, you know, especially with couples, when you're trying to explore a different side of intimacy, you have to be willing to be sexually free.
Right.
But then I was wondering,
so, well, hang on 1 second, Tamika, because I really wanted to go back to what Kira was saying. So you said that this couple, that they do not do anything unnatural?
They don't look at
what is considered
natural
when it comes to sex?
Yes, now sex is natural, but the oral thing, they don't do that. They don't think that's what...
So,
yeah, they don't do nothing that's outside of just regular intercourse. You know, they both had they was virgins when they got together. So they're the only two that been with each other, but they don't do anything that's outside of just regular sex. You know, and it's because of their religion. I forgot what religion they is, but that's how they roll. You know, to each his own. You know, they happy with it. I'm happy for them. Yeah, but
that is amazing. Because
I've never heard
anybody. And not to cut you off, I just kind of want to say this real fast. I've never heard anyone say that oral sex was unnatural.
Right. Well, because of, you know, your mouth ain't supposed to be down there. You know, that's not what it was made for. So that's what they look at as far as unnatural. You know,
wow.
The organs are made just to get together. Nothing, like your mouth ain't supposed to be down there. Anal, none of that crazy stuff that's outside of the normal intercourse. They don't
and
work with that.
Even you are describing it as, do you believe that this is unnatural too? Because the way you're describing sounds like you kind of agree.
Well, okay, let me straighten that out for you. It's not according to their religion, it's not natural, you know. So that's what they pointed out to me, and that's they believe, you know. So the freedom part, they kind of go out to. I forgot what it was. It was something there's so many of them, but they was really sticking to this one. You know, so if I talk to them again,
wow.
I try to find out, and I'll let you know how that rolls. Yeah. But then also you got to think about if it is sexual freedom involved, like your partner, I mean, are they the kind that will allow it to be some freedom in this, and when it comes to y'all having sex too? You know, is it a mutual thing?
I feel that I'm very confused in regards to this oral sex being unnatural. I've never heard of that before. And I've heard of people saying, though, you know, well, we're just only going to have missionary-type sex. You know, this mm-hmm. that's what we're going to do. We're not going past, you know, I'm going to be on top, you're going to be on bottom, and that's it. And normally it's the man on top and the woman just stays on the bottom. I've heard of that, but I've never heard of someone calling oral sex unnatural.
Natural.
And I feel that it amazes me because I can't imagine, because a lot of spiritual beings, a lot of people who are Christian or consider themselves Christians, they will not have intercourse but will have oral sex and call themselves a virgin until marriage.
Ain't that crazy?
I don't believe that either.
Yes, that's crazy.
Yeah, they got to get in some way, huh?
But I guess,
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
When you're thinking about it in that way, I guess people have to define their sexuality just based on, I guess, their current circumstance or like their way of life. So I guess where oral sex may be, you know, unconventional to that particular couple, I guess where I would say like our age group or just, you know, just I guess just where we are in life and we have different experiences, we may find that conventional just based on, you know, how we've been socialized and, you know, how we've been encouraged to explore ourselves sexually and, whatever that entails for us. So I can kind of see where there you may be a little bit different as far as, you know, what they do, you know, sexually between the two of them. So I'm feeling that a little bit.
I think that's a very good point because some of us, I just want to say this real quick, I do think that's a very good point because how we're socialized in society makes a really big difference on how we view sex and what we can see sexually as sexual freedom, sexual promiscuity, because it's a lot of now, you know, younger kids out here, they out there and they're just oral sex up. They start next 6 years old and they're having oral sex in the classroom. And sometimes it's same sex people, little kids, or, you know, having oral sex. And to them, that's normal and it's okay. But to us, we're like 6 years old is young to even be thinking about oral sex. So you're right. I do think, like, as the generation change, as society change, sexuality becomes something, it becomes defined as something a little bit different than what it was before. Because, you know, we had the sexual revolution in the 70s and everybody was sexing it up. And then they realized that, well, shit, if we keep having all this sex without a condom, we're all going to be, you know, dying of some type of STD or suffering from some type of STD. So then that revolution kind of stopped. You know, in a sense, because people realize that it's not as safe as they once thought it was. So I do agree that sexual exploration changes as the society changes and as the need in society, you know, change. So I think y'all made some wonderful points here.
Yeah, another thing to consider is these versions, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, When they hear stuff like, they were to the point where they hear stuff like oral sex, it seemed kind of like nasty to them. I mean, it's like, so it's easy for them to go into, I guess it boils down to the experiences and things they had in life, you know. They just don't know, you know, they're not open to none of that stuff that we are to because they really in tune to what they believe in and they just following that thing, you know. So, yeah, things just look foreign to them outside of the regular, you know, sex. And it's probably easy for them to deal with because they never experienced it anyway or really been fully exposed to a whole lot of it to seem for it not to seem normal not to have oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't see how they do it either, but hey.
But I have another question. I'm sorry to interrupt. What were you saying? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I was through.
Well, one quick question that, because, you know, I have to try to get it out before I forget it. But I wonder, you know, when we were talking about how these days where children are starting to explore with sex at a younger age, I guess as far as we're concerned, what is the appropriate age or the appropriate point in life where you should start becoming more sexually free, or even, you know, just considering the fact of what it would be like to embrace your sexuality and be free?
Now, that's a great question, and I do want to make sure I mention that we will be having a series starting next month where we touch on kids and sex and learning to talk to your children about sex. So that's a great point that you made. I feel that we need to start having that talk with our kids no later than the age of 6. And the reason why I'm saying this is because we don't know when our children go to school what they're learning, what they are exposed to. Because they may be exposed to, you know, the little boy over here who recognizes that he has a penis and now he wants to talk about it every day. Or, you know, or the little girl who recognizes she has a vagina. But I think starting at the age of 6, we need to start having these conversations with our kids about sex. I don't think there is no right or wrong time when a child is ready to explore who they are sexually, because we all mature at different ages. Like, you know, that's natural. Some of us started being sexual with other people at the age of 6 or 7. Some started at 9 or 10. Some started at 15. It's fluid. But that's because, and then a lot of times we think too automatically that if we're engaged in sex that we had some type of sexual abuse or sexual experience within the home, and that's not necessarily true. Sometimes it's just because we are naturally curious. So I think that there is no right or wrong time. That's
y'all
just like
the
my
age y'all were?
I didn't start exploring sex until I was 16.
But like when you first, let's say, like how old when you first do anything about sex, period? Like either had some kind of feeling or seen or whatever. How old were you then?
Maybe about 13.
What about you?
I know, it was kind of old. I was raised in the country.
You sure
now. Stop, okay? And I was very sheltered child. I was still playing with dolls.
I see. Yes,
thank you. What about you, Kibor? I was thinking,
well,
go ahead.
No, I'm dying to hear Kira, because I would just be surprised, because I'm thinking like most boys, what, around age, what, 15? Am I wrong? Am I close?
Well, yeah, as far as your first time having sex, maybe, you know, but now, but I would tell you, like, now, even though I was older than that, you know, I was kind of shy, you know, but. As far as my first sexual contact was a kiss, right? And this girl, we call ourselves going with each other. We was like in the first grade, and she kissed me, but then she put her tongue in my mouth, and I don't know how she learned all that.
Oh.
But I was like, damn, what she put a tongue in my mouth for? But anyway, that was my first time, you know, ever encountering any type of sexual contact with any, you know, anybody. And I was like 5 or 6 years old then.
Well, you know what? Now that you mention that, Kira, I could take it back. We did play a little bit of house when I was like 9, and I was always the mama.
What you do?
I do remember that.
Oh my! I can't with you guys. But do you think that that formed an opinion one way or another? I mean, I guess now just looking back, or do you think that that was the thing that got started and curious, or how would you explain that?
Well, be honest with you, I liked her. I had an attraction to her anyway, you know, so it wasn't, so I had a feeling for her then before she even kissed me or whatever, because I liked her and I liked being around her and stuff, you know. That was just a plus for me, getting a kiss from and everything. But ever since I can remember, I've been feeling, you know, feeling the girls and stuff like that. Ever since I can remember. And it just grew on and on. Now, I didn't know anything. Now, I'm going to tell you what's funny when I found out about puberty. Now, that was a trip out thing. It was kind of scary to me because I was, you know, I was like 13 then when I found out about puberty. You know, and for guys, it's kind of, it's a trip. I don't know how it is for y'all women, but I ain't gonna get into it about that. So Tamika, you never answer my question about you. How old are you?
Now, well, I'm a little different. I was sheltered as well, but I think for me, even when I was, you know, even just between the ages of 13 and 15, I was busy, you know, doing academia and things of that nature. So I would say maybe around 16.
She said she was busy doing academia.
Academia.
Well, I guess cold, not in the life, I guess. But I just really wasn't.
Girl.
To boys. I really wasn't. You know, I had male friends and, you know, I grew up around boys. So, I mean, it wasn't even, you know, that there was, you know, some discomfort there. But I don't know, I really just was not feeling boys. I wasn't thinking about sex. I wasn't thinking about any of that. I was a good girl. I still am.
Well, I must have been bad. Man, listen.
Well,
I think that was a very good topic, good discussion, and I cannot wait for us to explore that piece of sexuality next month, because I do feel that a lot of parents shy away from talking about sex with their kids, and we're teaching them that sex is bad, and we're teaching them it's not okay to talk about it, which increases secrecy when it comes to bad sex. So I cannot wait for us to have this discussion next month. I do feel it's going to be great, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. So let's get back to this. Is there a way to safely express yourself sexually and not be called a hoe, a slut, etc.? That is my question, and I want y'all to ponder on it. I have a caller, so I'm going to bring the caller on. And everyone, you know, if you want to make a comment, you have something to say, just press 1, and I will bring you on the line. So we have a caller, 8309. Hello, are you there?
Hey, guys.
Hey, caller. How are you tonight?
Hey, hello.
How are you
doing
tonight?
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, I am great. This is a great topic for me, because that's what I've been faced with since I've been an adult. Someone calling me promiscuous versus me just knowing what I want. And I think there's a big difference between being promiscuous and just being sexual or sensual. I think the promiscuous person, there's someone who, they're just out there having sex with no purpose. They're not trying to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. They you know, just want to have sex or just want to run through people with the goal of being able to say, oh, I tapped that, I had her or I had him. But I think that someone who is just a very sensual or sexual person and just enjoys that part of themselves, they may meet someone and really like them and connect with them on an instant level. Like maybe you have a one-night stand with someone that you had great conversation with and you just vibe so deeply that the chemistry made you want to give yourself to them. I think that's just you being sexual. Now, you may not know where it will lead, but you're just living for the moment or being present with that person at that time. I don't think that makes you promiscuous. I think that just makes you a person that just lives for the moment and enjoys the space that they're in. What y'all think?
Well, I guess it depends on... And I see your point, and I guess the promiscuous part come in is how many times you're going to do that to how many people, you know, because if you're comfortable, and I guess the promiscuous person is comfortable just going with the flow and letting it all happen, but with, like, multiple people and things of that nature.
But I don't think that makes you promiscuous because, okay, when you're dating, you know, Steve Harvey has that rule. He's like the 90-day rule. Don't give yourself to someone, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what if you've spent 7 or 8 years single and you haven't met anyone that you could sit down and have a great conversation with and that you can vibe with on a deeper level? And let's, for instance, not even say you have sex with them that day, but maybe the next day or a week later. And then some things come out that you find out you just can't deal with. You X that person out, and it's like, man, now my numbers are increased. I had sex with someone else that I really don't like that. Well, I thought I liked them, but I really don't like that. Now you meet someone else, and you're vibing with them, and maybe it's a couple months down the line, and you have sex with them. Some people might have sex with one person in 3 to 6 months. Does that make you promiscuous because you're out there searching for love or whatever you're trying to seek with these people and you have sex because at that time it's good for you and it's good for that person as well? You just find out y'all don't mesh later on. Does that make you promiscuous or does that just make you someone that's living for the moment and trying to have a great experience with somebody?
I wouldn't necessarily consider that sexual freedom. I would consider that looking for love in all the wrong places, and now all of a sudden, it seems like you're connecting with so many different people, and as soon as you connect with them, you feel like you have to give your body to them. And I feel like this. I can only give my body to someone that I have a really strong connection with. It can't just be, you are attractive to me. You know, I'm attracted to you. It can't just be that. And now we're going to lay up in the bed together. Like,
well, I don't think everyone connects that way, though. I don't believe that. You know, I believe everyone expresses themselves in different ways. And it's not that I was trying to find love with the sex. The sex came after the chemistry. You know what I'm saying? The sex came after enjoying other things about that person. I saw them first. I was attracted to them. We had a conversation. You know, we talked about different things. We spent time together. And then the sex came. I didn't go into it saying, you know, I want some love. Let me get a pussy up so they can love me back. It was deeper than that. And then the sex came because that's all a part of me.
I wouldn't consider that sexual promiscuity. To me, I think it's just like what we had said before. We're out there, we're just continuing to have sex. Like, it's like, okay, I meet this guy today, and I'm having sex with him. And I meet another guy tomorrow, I'm having sex with him. I meet somebody else, I'm having sex with him. And I'm just having sex. I'm just sexing it up with everybody I meet because I just like to have sex. That is what I consider sexual promiscuity. I do not feel that if you're connecting with people, I'm just saying, in my opinion, I'm not having sex with everybody I connect with. mentally,
right.
like, attracted to
or
whatever. But I don't consider that sexual promiscuity. But the, what you're explaining is that, okay, I connect with somebody, and it's a natural part of me, and when I connect with you, I'm going to have sex with you, too, because that's just natural. That's what I'm hearing from you.
Absolutely. Because, check it out, when you have sex with someone, and this is a conversation that I had with one of my friends, she kept saying all these things that she won't do when she has sex. Oh, I ain't going to suck the dick. Oh, I ain't going to eat the pussy. I ain't going to do this or do that. And I said, why do you have so many stop buttons when you have sex? Sex is supposed to be fluid. It's supposed to be whatever you got, you two are enjoying at that time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't think you should, you know, have so many no's. If you try something and you don't like it, you can switch it up. You know, maybe you don't like riding. Okay, you tried it. Don't ride it no more. You know, but
mm-hmm.
but don't go into things with this I don't and I won't mentality. And that's what a lot of people do when they're trying to find a lover or they're trying to find a mate or a spouse or a life partner. They go into it with the mentality of, you know what, ain't no kissing on the first date. You know what, I just had sex with somebody 3 weeks ago. I can't have sex again until March. And I think that shit is stupid. I just don't think it's going to cultivate a naturally beautiful relationship with someone. I think you should go into it with your eyes wide open.
Okay,
I think people have their own views. I just want to say this real quick. I think people have their own views on that, and I feel that because if I don't want my numbers to look high. And I know I had sex with somebody this month, especially, like, you have to think about this thing. Say, for instance, you are a woman, right? You're a woman, and you went out, you had sex with this guy. And maybe it was protected, maybe it was not. Now you and this guy don't work out. So, like, okay, you meet another guy maybe a month later, and you and him work out. I want to keep my number low. Because, shit, I don't know if I get pregnant or what. And who is going to be this damn baby daddy? That is what I'm going to be thinking about. Or if I get an STD, who the hell gave me this STD? I need to know.
Well, that's where that's where the conversation comes in. Are you actually talking to these people? Are you just meeting them? You drunk? You don't know who you having sex with? You know, it all comes with dialogue.
That's the same with promiscuity.
Well, especially people. Well, then we need to have the talk about being responsible in your decisions. You
and
know
that's
what I'm saying?
What
if I had sex with 12 people,
well.
I'm going to know their first and last name. I'm going to know where they live. I'm going to know when I had sex with them. You know, that's why I said if I have a conversation with someone and I'm enjoying them, I would assume in the conversing that we're talking about your family and the type of things you like to do. I'm not going to be a Jerry Springer chick where I'm just on there not knowing who is who. You know, it could have been Billy. It could have been Jasmine. You know, I'm just out there having sex with everybody. And that's another issue I think that needs to be addressed is that sexually promiscuous people, you know, are they just having sex with a male or a female? Does it cross over? Do you have a standard of what you're doing, or do you have a sex addiction?
Yeah. So I kind of
yeah,
you
getting
it. Because,
but I
so it's kind of
I
like,
do want to say this. Oh, go ahead, Kira, and then I'll say what I'm going to say.
Go ahead, you got it.
And then Tamika had a comment too.
Okay. Oh, you go ahead. Y'all go ahead and go with y'all comment. I was just giving feedback on reference to what was discussed, and I was just saying, like, I think the intentions make a difference too. Like, if your intentions is to build a relationship with someone and it just don't work out, you know, that's a little different than someone who's just going for the sex, you know, who just want to go out there and just have sex with people without needing or wanting a full blown relationship to come out of it. But that's all I want to say.
And I wanted to say this, that if you're going to be, I'm all for sexual freedom, honey. Go out there and have as much sex as you like. But you do need to make sure that you are being sexually responsible. And it's not something, it's not, oh, I just do this because I need to fill some type of void in my life. Some people actually go out and they explore their sexuality, and it's not about having multiple partners. It's about honestly exploring who they are as sexual beings, and they enjoy sex. But they're also being sexually responsible. They're not just out there, oh, I'm just going to fuck this person, that person. They're going to use condoms. They're on their birth control. They know who they're having sex with, when they're having sex with, and why they're having sex with that particular person. And I'm all for that if you are being responsible and safe. Promiscuity comes in when you are out there just giving yourself away to someone. You don't know much about these people that you're giving yourself to, and you're not being sexually responsible. Now you're pregnant and you don't know who the baby daddy is. Or you have some type of STD, you don't know who gave you that STD. That's where I'm coming from. But, Tamika, what were you going to say?
No, I was just saying when the caller was speaking about, you know, people being a little bit more hesitant in doing certain things, you know, when you're going on the first date and you're going into, I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that, I think that, for one, I think some people use that as a, you know, just as a mechanism to protect themselves, because you don't know this person. You don't know where this is going to go. You're traveling in uncharted territory, so you don't know where this is going to go. So you don't want to, you know, put everything out there and, you know, you lay it all on the table, then kind of find out later on down the line that there's no connection. So I can understand where people may be a little bit apprehensive about, you know, maybe kissing or, you know, the heavy petting and this and that, because you don't know what you're walking into. You don't know who you're dealing with versus, you know, like you say, you have that time where you and that person are spending time together, and then you're starting to figure out, okay, well, where is it going? And then at that point, you feel more comfortable with exploring, you know, the intimate part of the relationship. Then you should do that freely. But I think that, you know, I do recognize and understand, you know, what the caller is saying, that, you know, you want to be able to allow yourself to be free and just, you know, connect with this person on the emotional and the spiritual level. I get that, but I think that there has to be some type of apprehension because, you know, you have to protect yourself.
Right.
I agree
and
with
I understand
that, too.
Everything
you definitely have
saying.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you do have to make sure you are also being not even just physically responsible with the birth control, the safe sex and all that, but you also have to be emotionally responsible too, because at the end of the day, sex is an emotional thing, and a lot of people don't like to agree with that because in their head, oh, I'm just fucking her, I'm just fucking him, and everything is okay, and I'm sorry, y'all, you know I cuss a little bit, it's a grown show. So anyway, but that's what they're thinking. It's like, you know, I'm just doing this, I'm just doing that. But they don't understand the emotional impact it has to the other person, because when you engage with someone sexually, you're giving yourself to that person, and that person is giving themselves to you, so you may not attach
okay,
a meaning
so this
to
is
it,
the question,
but that
though.
Other
is
person
it your
may.
Job? Is it your job? Is it your job to... Is it your job to try to understand and control everyone's mindset? Like, aren't you supposed to be doing what makes you happy? I don't think it's my responsibility to try to gauge what somebody's somebody's spiritual mindset is. I'm doing what
well,
makes me happy.
I'm not even saying spiritual. I said emotional, and the reason why I'm saying that
or
is
emotional.
Well, yes, I do think that we hold a responsibility in that. If I'm going to get involved with some woman or man that I know has much stronger feelings than I have for them, then yes, I have an emotional responsibility to that person, because obviously I'm leading them on. I'm making them think it's going to be something a little bit more than what it really is. So, yes, I feel we do have a responsibility, even if it's 10% emotional responsibility for that other person. You don't want to, like I say, you have a different meaning of it. So in your head, I'm just having sex with this girl, and I hope everything turns out okay because I'm having sex with her because I want to be happy. But here this girl is thinking, well, maybe she really does like me. Maybe she really does want to be with me because your actions are saying something differently. We already know our actions speak much louder than words, period. Like, that's just really no contesting that.
Well, see, that's the problem. People don't listen to words. They say, hey, when people tell you who they are, believe them, right? If I converse with you and
say
we
when
speak
people
about
show
the difference,
you who they are, believe them.
No, well, when they tell you, believe them. No, when they tell you. Because if I'm sitting here telling you, yo, I'm feeling you, you know, I like everything that happened tonight or whatever, and you still, you know, go and have sex with me, and I'm telling you, I don't want a relationship right now, or whatever the case may be, and you still have sex with me, that's on you. It's not my responsibility after I tell you exactly what it is. I could show you all day. It's just like I was in this little thing with a girl that told me, she didn't like the fact that I wasn't on my phone or I didn't answer text messages when we were around each other. And I'm like, well, okay, well, my time with you is my time with you. You know, I respect the time that we have with each other. And she said, well, I would just rather you answer the phone or, you know, answer text messages because it just puts it in perspective where we are with things. And I just thought that was the craziest thing to me. I'm like, here I am thinking I'm respecting our time, but she's feeling like it's some big secret. And I'm like, no, if I'm with another girl, I'm not going to answer my phone either because I'm where I'm supposed to be. That's just how I carry things. So if I'm having sex with you, I'm having sex with you. Does that mean I'm having sex with a whole bunch of different people at the same time? No. But if I'm single and I feel like I want to do that, that's what I'm going to do, and you're going to understand it from the beginning. It's your choice to deal with me or not. I'm not going to go further than that. I'm not out here to baby adults. I'm here to enjoy myself.
Hey, I hear you on that.
Wait a minute. Oh, I got a question because I need to get this off my chest. So wait a minute. So you're telling me that if you're entertaining someone, and you know, and I understand and I encourage people, when you're entertaining someone or the thought of someone, you have to be responsible for that person's feelings up and to, you know, to an extent. So what you're saying to me, and please correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying that if you're entertaining someone and, you know, like you say, if you're with them, you're with them, and that's fine. So you're telling me that you would tell that person up front, whatever we do is what we do. However, you know, there may be a chance where, you know, I may want to go and entertain someone on an intimate level. You would be that honest and just bring that to the table?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, and I can say that because I know this caller, I can say that she will do that. And I don't think that there is a problem with that. What I'm saying is that we still have a smidgen of responsibility for somebody else's emotions because we are bringing them in our personal space. So we are putting ourselves in their particular space. So at the end of the day, I don't care how honest you are with someone, if you know that person is also being honest with you and telling you how they feel about you, you do have some responsibility in protecting, and I won't even say protecting, but making sure that the lines are clear and that they remain clear. That is all that I'm saying. We have another call. I want to bring them on. 3227, are you there?
Hey, I'm here. Wow, great discussion. I just wanted to bring up a couple things. One is that I agree with the caller as far as like where we are in 2015, and people being able to be, you know, responsible, being able to explore, and even within relationships. And I'm from the West Coast, and that's the one thing that I just don't like about the South, especially the Deep South, is that it is still, you know, if you're sleeping with more than one person, you know, you're a slut or if you want to get into, go to like a sex club, oh, why would you want to do that? Or you want to get involved with threesomes, why would you do that? I'm not sharing with nobody. And like on the West Coast, San Francisco, L.A., Las Vegas, it's like so much more evolved. And it is killing me. It's almost like I don't even want to date anybody else out here because I am so bored. And it's like people are like, well, I don't date outside my race. And I don't do this. And I don't date bi people. And I don't do this. And it's just like, come on. When is the South going to catch up with the rest of the country? Like,
well,
I'm
I think
just
it's definitely
that,
cultural.
But I'm just saying, kind
I think
of
it has
like,
little to
always,
do with it. The South is a different culture, and we're smack dab in the middle of the Bible Belt, so it is a different culture here. So everything is a little bit more religion based. So it's thinking, you know, we just think that way. It's automatic, you know. It's the Bible. The Bible says this. The Bible says that. So I think that it has little to do with people catching up. It just has more to do with people learning that being sexually free is not a bad thing, and
right.
learning that sex in itself is not bad, which is my whole goal with everything that I do regarding sex and sensuality and this show, is to encourage us to explore who we are as sexual beings, but just making sure that we're doing it safely.
Well, I definitely agree with that. Oh, the only other thing I was going to say is that the thing is, it starts with respect, and you probably went over this in the beginning of the show, but just like, you know, like me and the caller, if we are like on the side of more being sexually free, I think people just have to learn to respect that. And then we can also respect those of us, you know, other people that, like, say, the man said, somebody got a relationship where they only do missionary position. And if that works for them, let's just respect it. And then, you know, you just find somebody that, I would say this, has your sexual appetite. Because another thing I'm getting tired of is all these people in these sexless marriages and relationships that are creeping, that are, you know, on Ashley Madison,
yeah.
That's on Pornhub, that's calling my phone, just stop it. Like, you got to work on what you got going on at home. Like, that's my biggest thing. Well, you know, she don't want to do this and she don't want to do that. That's your problem. You married her or him, right?
Right.
And you want the security, you want the financial part, but, you know, oh, they just don't do it for me. Okay, well, you married them and you made a vow. So you got to work on that. And I tell you, my last person I was dating, you know, everybody's like, oh, this person much younger than you. Ooh, that's going to be fire. Woo. Worst sex ever. They was young. They were pretty. Everything. They just didn't have the mechanics down. The people in the past that I dated, that women, right, that had dated like a lot of different people, people would say, oh, why would you want that? Ooh, why would you want that? Best sex ever. Because they knew. They was like, they knew what to do.
I need to use that word.
Experience. And it's like people just make assumptions. I mean, I've had sex with somebody. I was the first person they ever had sex with. Everybody's like, oh my God, you hit the holy grail. You got a virgin. You gonna turn
look at
her out.
Hang yourself on the bag. Okay, huh?
No. Let me worst sex ever. Worst ever. Right? Worst situation. Because, you know, you don't know what to do. I can't teach you everything what to do. Person that had been with everybody, a lot of people, whatever, best ever. So I'm just saying, you know, some of these little misconceptions, it's like for women, like you said, oh, I want to keep my numbers down. I respect that, but women care about that. Men don't be talking about, I want to keep my numbers down. And why is that?
Because we are in a society where men are praised for having multiple partners. We're in that society where it's okay. A man can go out here and have sex with 100 women and not be seen as a slut, a hoe, a man hoe, whatever. But a woman can go out here and have sex with 100 men or 100 women, and they're seen as the worst person alive. So that's
not
the
really,
reason why.
So aren't we talking about sexual freedom? Isn't that sexual freedom? It's for the women to take back their power, and for the woman to be able to have sex and enjoy herself however she wants to? Because I'm going to tell you
this. Of course.
A lot of these people out here that are, like, in the gay community, there's a lot of women that say, like, studs. They're touch me nots. They don't want the femme to touch on them. And even some dudes, maybe, you know, in the straight community, they don't want the girl to do certain things. And then they get with me, and I like to do all this stuff, and now I'm in the bedroom bored as hell because they don't know how to do shit.
Right?
They are ruining life.
Yep.
Like,
awful.
Knock it off. Do some stuff. Do something.
Stop
you make
I agree
you
because I'm the type of person that I want to explore. I want to enjoy my sex life. And I feel like it was a post that I had. I'm going to find this post and I'm going to read it to you all. It says, life is too short to have bad relationships and shitty sex. So find somebody who's going to treat you right and fuck you good. And I'm yes.
Yeah,
like, we need to explore in our sex life.
Okay. Mm.
Okay.
But like you said, it goes with the, okay, but look at this point. You got women like Rihanna, right? And it's like men and women, they're like, oh, she's so sexy. Like, everybody wants her. I'm not saying everybody. I'm just using that term. Look at these Kardashians. They sleep with everybody. They be married, have a boyfriend, a side boo, somebody else. Men, all these big-name celebrities, all these million-dollar athletes still want those girls. They've been with everybody. So a lot of times I think it has to do with your status and money. And it's like if you got money and you're a woman and you got power or whatever, then men, I don't know, I guess you just get a pass. Because you could be with anybody. They still want to go right behind the next person. Right, these rappers that marry these strippers.
Like Superhead. Even Superhead got married.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't marry, but
and before Superhead was married, it was a big deal because she was able to, you know, she was just more vocal. It's a lot of women out here who give good head and that knows how to do it and can, you know, probably do it better than her. She was just more vocal
in
her
role. Right. I saw the videos. You got to watch the videos. Everybody ain't doing what she was doing because I compared videos.
Everybody ain't doing that, huh?
Everybody wasn't doing all that. I'm sorry, Mika. You got to hit Pornhub and check it out.
I know what she was doing, but I'm saying there are a lot of women out here who could give very damn good head, and they're just not vocal about it. She ain't the only one who could give good head. Stop it. She just was able to talk about it. And then people were out there degrading her and blasting her for talking about it and being vocal. And I don't think that was fair because she did what she felt was sexually freedom for her.
Yeah,
right. But
she
went against the
Well, yeah,
though.
She probably has to do it and put everybody's business out. But I'm just
that's
saying.
I'm
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was.
Well, I'm gonna have sex with whoever I want to have sex with because it makes me happy.
Well, you just need to make sure that you are being emotionally responsible. That's all I'm saying. And safe.
Absolutely. All day. I haven't made it this far without any STDs because I was playing games with the safe sex. I'm good on that. But I will say, if a young lady sparks that emotion in me, she gonna get the business. It's going down.
I vote for that.
We have been warned. I hear that.
That's right. All right, I'm checking out, y'all. Thank you so much. I love this show, and I'm definitely calling in again next time.
Thank you. We appreciate you. Good night.
Good night, guys.
All right, good night.
Good night. Oh, my gosh. Y'all are a mess. Y'all are freaking hilarious. I'm about to play a song. Because we have a caller. Let me bring on this caller, then I'll play a song. Hello.
Greetings. How you guys doing?
Great. How are you? I like the voice.
I'm doing just fine. Thank you so much, Ma. I want to say this. You know, every now and then you have to get a caller who has to say the unpopular thing. And I guess I'm going to be that caller. So if y'all don't mind, I'm not going to say my name. But I want to shed some light on this conversation. Now, I heard the last caller loud and clear, and she said, whoever I want to have sex with, I'm going to have sex with because that makes me happy. But then you said something to her extremely powerful. You said you need to be emotionally responsible and you need to be safe. See, when you have to follow up a, when you have to give, how do I say this? When you have to give instructions for something that somebody feels that they have free reign to do, that tells you that there is something wrong with that agency. Now, what am I saying here? We can sometimes become slaves to our genitals because that's all that we know how to do, really. And I don't care what anybody says. No one's going to see me about this. You can meet somebody, and excuse my expression, they ain't thinking about fucking you, but they have so much presence and personality to their spirit that you can't hardly do shit but think about them all day. What is that? What is that right there? Because at the end of the day, you can be with somebody and you can have good sex. There are, this world is full who had good sex for 3 and 4 years and they can't stand each other because that's all that they had. But if you have a meeting of the minds and if your spirits connect, you can make bad sex great sex, even if it's only 4 or 5 times a year. Because what you have that other people don't have is that you have community. You have a comrade. You have somebody that you can wake up and look in their face and they say, I got you. I don't give a damn what happens if this house burns down. I got you. And we got to sleep in a tent. We're going to be together. See, I'm saying that for the people who are struggling, gay, straight, for the people who are struggling and they feel like they need to use their genitals to make themselves appealing or attractive to another person, that's not the route to go. The route to go is to be your beautiful self. And talk to them about what it is that you know about yourself and what you like about them. And when you find out what you have in common, you'll realize that the time just passes. And when sex does come, it's spiritual. And so you can be separated from the person and not be obsessive. See, people get their windows broken out over vagina and penises. Their car windows. People get all beat up and scraped up over orgasms because that's all that they have in the person. So I guess what I'm saying at the end of the day is let's not be a slave to our genitalia. You want to have a meeting of the minds with a person because after your clitoris, the swelling has gone down, the penis has gone down, you're looking at the other person like, what the fuck did I just do? Oh, you know, sometimes people, after everything goes down, they don't want to be bothered with the person. They don't want to hug. They don't want to be touched. So we just need to be mindful of that. And I know this is not the popular thing to say. I just wanted to put that out there, you guys. Thank you for being respectful. Let me get that off my chest. Okay.
Yes, I love your point because what I'm hearing is we have to also think about the intimacy and the actual connection beyond just, like you said, beyond our genitals. And I do think that you made a great point. And I think a lot of people forget that part because I've been there. It's like, okay, person, I'm having sex with this person. And then it's like, well, what else is left? After it's finished, I'm empty. There's nothing else. And I'm like, is this it? Is this all that I've had from this experience? Is this feeling of emptiness? So I definitely get your point. I do also wanted to make sure I say something about what you said in reference to what I said to her regarding being emotional and sexually responsible. As a therapist and as somebody who advocates for sexual freedom and being able to explore who you are as a sexual being, I have to make sure that I am talking to people about safe sex. And
exactly.
That people aren't, and so that is the reason why I made sure to say that, and that people aren't engaging in something and they are harming themselves emotionally or physically. So I have
and
to make
I love
sure
you
I
for
say
it.
That
exactly.
Because I have that responsibility.
And you made it known that that is a prerequisite. See, we can use our genitals as we wish. But we need to be mindful that we may be having sex with someone who is not emotionally ready. So, you know, what you were saying to her is you need to be emotionally responsible. If the sex that you're bringing is too much for the individual, you need to fall back. We have to be responsible with our genitalia. That's all I'm saying. And I believe that's what you're saying, too.
I love it. I love the way you put your words. So beautiful.
You're talking to me?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Ma. I appreciate it. I just want to, really what I'm doing is I'm just backing up my sister because that was so powerful what she said. It's like somebody was about to go out the door and she caught him by the shoulder and said, wait a minute. You need to be responsible. How beautiful is that, that someone wants us to be mindful, to be responsible with our genitalia and with our emotion? Because oftentimes people are just finding out who they are and they are not ready emotionally. You need to be responsible with those people, lest you turn them into broken, bitter, heinous people. You see the people on social media saying things and you know they need to be picked up by the crazy truck? Somebody used them in the wrong way. They weren't ready for it. So I'm just backing her up with what she's saying. And,
can I make a comment for the other?
Sure, go ahead. Make your comment.
Okay. And the thing that I would have to mention again is I receive everything that the last caller said and the intent, but I do have to, again, go back to respect. Like, there are other perspectives other than this one, other than mine and other than hers. And if we could just get to a point where we're saying, yes, you feel a certain way, very passionate, very strongly, very eloquent in expressing it, that is one viewpoint. I'm not saying we shouldn't be responsible emotionally, right, or physically with a safe sex. I'm not saying that. But there are other, everyone is not out looking for a soulmate or looking to connect so I can spend the next. Everyone doesn't have to have somebody to wake up to. Like, and they're okay. They're happy. So there are other lifestyles, other ways of looking at life. And what frustrates me within the Black community is, for the majority, everyone wants to be in the same boat. I don't know if it's because of our slavery history or what, but it's like we got to be good. We got to be in the eyes of the Lord. We got to be, you know, everything has to be. And I don't think the caller, when she said, I think she expressed herself very well as like how she wants to live her life and how she, I think she went into detail about connecting with people. I just get so frustrated with Black women, and I'm going to say that, in that other, you know, other women that I've interacted with, like, they don't have as many hang-ups and, oh, I'm this and I'm going to be this and I got to do this. It's just, it's tough to meet someone and try to be out here dating, and it's like you've got all these requirements of, you know, can I see myself with you in 10 years? I'm not saying you got to just go out every night and be reckless and be sleeping with people, but if our connection is physical, sensual, intimate, or whatever, and you're not going to be my soulmate, I just think that's okay too. Like, can't we have a balance of this is wonderful if I go out and I connect with my soulmate, but I'm not going to, I don't want a soulmate that I'm having sex with five times a year. I just don't. For me, That won't fulfill the physical part that I need with a partner. For some people, and, 4 times a year, that would be, and I respect that. I'm just saying, can we respect the other side and give it respect instead of making it seem like, well, if you don't have this, this high level of connection spiritually with this person you're having
can I respond to you? I don't mean to cut you off, but let me respond to you. First of all, I was being polarizing when I said 4 or 5 times a year, because I'm mindful that there are a myriad of people who have genitals. We're not the only folks with genitals, and I'm not speaking of myself in particular. But what I want you to understand is this: it's perfectly okay that you don't want an intimate soulmate or relationship that is conducive to soul mating. That's perfectly okay. But what you need to do is let the receiver, the person who's on the opposite end, let them know that that's what you want. Hey, I'm not interested in a soulmate. I don't even want you to be my man or my woman. What I really want is to have some bomb-ass sex. And if you need somebody to jump your battery, if you need somebody to jump your battery, you know, I'm just saying you have to let people know. This is what I took it. Maybe the sister can respond to us and correct me if I'm wrong. When she said be emotionally responsible, you don't allow somebody to think that there's a chance that you're going to have an intimate, close, personal relationship with them when all you really want is a physical one. You need to let them know what it is that you're about.
Yes.
And if they say, you know what, if they look you in your eyes and say, you know what, that's the same shit I want, let's have at it, then you good. But if a person is naive and they're telling you, well, I really want to be married and I see us having a beautiful kitchen and growing a garden, you need to fall back.
I think that's emotionally
responsible. That's all I'm saying.
I agree with you on that. I think the other part.
I think, one second real fast, and I'll say this and then let you finish your conversation. I think that you expressed my point exactly. If you know that the other person wants something totally different than what you are asking for or that you have expressed that you are looking for, then it's your emotional responsibility to go and leave that person alone and find somebody else that wants exactly what you're looking for. That is all that I mean exactly when I say emotional responsibility.
I agree with that part. But the part that and what she was saying when making her comment is that the part that I'm not saying that I disagree with everything you said. That part, that last part, totally agree with that. What I'm saying is that there are other ways, and as far as I didn't say I'm not out looking for a soulmate, because I don't think anybody should be out looking for a soulmate. I think that's organic. I think that you just connect with people in different levels, and if this person comes into my life, I think that's organic. I don't think you can control that. And the intimacy thing, I think, again, that's organic. But the only thing I disagree with, I don't agree that you can control someone else's feelings. Like you said, you're being reckless now, unless you're lying to them, like what you all are saying. So I think we're all on the same page with that. I'm just saying I think there's another way.
Yeah,
we're on the page with being responsible and communicating effectively with people. I just wish we could get to a point where it's okay, meaning that, of course, for most people, their end game is to end up with someone that they love, that they are treated well with, that they're building a life together. For most people, I will even say most, but there's a large number of people where they just don't believe in that. They don't believe in, one, they may not believe in marriage. Two, they may not believe in the ownership, the love ownership part where you mine and where are we and this and this. And I just think it's okay. I just find in the black community, we're just not.
All I'm telling you is it is okay. It is okay. That's all we're saying, that is, it's okay. But because it's okay for you doesn't mean it's okay for the insecure, emotionally insecure individual that may have a slamming body. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just because somebody looks sexy don't mean that they're ready for sex mentally. That's all I'm saying. I don't, and now you've told me what you don't like. I want to tell you what I don't like.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't like that you said black women. I want to tell you what I'm so sick of. I'm so sick of people trying to put hats and coats and titles on the mother of humanity. Nobody needs to tell us how to fuck. We fucked and got all these people that you see here, red, black, white, yellow, Asian, mongoloid, Arab, they are here because of the black woman. So nobody needs to tell us how to do that. We know how to do that. But what I don't like is when people put so many jackets and everything on the mother of humanity. We were on this earth by ourselves thousands upon thousands of years when we were the only female, womaned man. We were the only people on this earth. So we peopled this earth. We are incorrect to put, and I take a lot of heat for this, but you can call any other woman lesbian, but you can't call the black woman lesbian because her natural orientation is female. That's who was on this earth thousands and thousands of years before the Y chromosome even became into manifestation. So we have to be careful the titles we try to put on her. I feel like whatever the black woman does that is safe and agreeable with her partner is okay with me. And that's all I'm saying. Be
totally
careful
agree.
What you say about the mother of humanity.
I agree with that.
I agree with some of it. And it definitely, with me being a black woman, it's definitely no disrespect, no self-hatred in that. I just think that we also, so we can agree to disagree, because I'm around men a lot as well. And whenever they want to have a conversation about what they're attracted to, and they say one thing about, and I purposely said that about black women, right? Whenever they bring that up, they get a negative response from black women. If they say, well, I've dated outside my race, and black women will say, well, why? Well, what was it about these women or that? What was it? They want to know, right? As soon as they start to say this and that, the black women don't listen. If you ask the question, then listen, and they get all defensive. So it's never any disrespect. It's just I'm just basing it on my experience, which is not everyone's experience, that some of these, like, limiting thoughts we give ourselves. I agree with you. Whatever the black woman wants to do with her body and her sexuality is okay. So if you agree with that, I don't mean that single people like me are out here being reckless and want to sleep with people. What about couples? What about couples who don't want to get married, who are open, who are swingers, who do this? All of these things need to be okay. If they're happy and they're not married and they're not this and they're not conventional, it's okay. The reason I think so many people are on the down low, sneaking around and being reckless, is that we don't make it okay. We don't make it okay for black men to be bisexual. We don't make it okay for them to be interested in transsexuals. We don't make it okay for people to be in open relationships, open marriages. And I'm not saying you all don't think it's okay, but as a community, we don't make these things okay. And so then it's everything done in the dark.
Yeah, I do agree. And I feel that we do need to be more open regarding sex, which is why I do what I do. We have to be more open regarding sex. Otherwise, it's going to be a lot of sneaking and hiding. And, you know, of course, I bring that all the way back to what I said in the beginning. We hide the bad sex that happens to us. We hide the rape. We hide the molestations or the sexual abuse. And that is why I want sex to be more open, the dialogue to be more out there on the forefront and allow us the opportunity to be who we are sexually. And that even means be who we are sexually even if we're considered, quote unquote, boring in bed, because that's just who we are as a sexual being, and that is okay. There's nothing wrong with it. And I think that's what the other caller is trying to say too, that if you want to limit your sex to missionary, no oral, then that's your right. You have that sexual right. You just need to be with a partner who doesn't want oral and only wants missionary. Like, that's just it. period. If you find yourself with somebody who's not willing to explore with you sexually, then you have to make a decision. Is this somebody I want to be with? Is sex that important to me? Maybe I connect with this person on another level, and maybe we can grow sexually together. So we can't. This has been a great discussion, y'all. I'm so happy.
It really is.
I mean, we could go on forever. Are you sleepy?
No, I'm just usually sleepy at this time. Yeah, she just wore me out. No, but it's just awesome conversation. I wish we could do this, like, in person. Like, it would just be awesome because I welcome different viewpoints and, you know what I mean? It gives you something to think about. It always gives you something to think about because no matter what
your viewpoint is,
it's not the only viewpoint.
Right. We all have different opinions.
I agree.
I do have, I've hosted many sexual seminars, so I'm in the process of planning one. It's going to be the January or February. We'll be here in Atlanta, so this will be, it'll be a chance for you to, you know, come in person and to discuss and share and have this open dialogue because that's what it's for. I started doing these seminars in 2013, and they have been very productive. You know, a lot of women have grown from these seminars, and I normally limit them to women only. I'm in the process of kind of, you know, thinking if I want to include men. But the way this discussion went tonight, I really feel like I want to keep it to women only in a sense because we feel a little bit more comfortable talking with each other. You know, and not to discount you, Keroy, but I'm just saying, sometimes it's easier to talk for a woman to express themselves sexually with women. You know, it can be a little intimidating with men. So I will keep you all informed on that, and I would love for you all to attend, and we can definitely have this discussion in person.
Sounds good. And the brother, what's his name?
Keyboard.
Yeah, I just really respect you because you come in here and you give, like, that male insight, and I appreciate that, and I like listening to you. And it's just, you know, you're always respectful, but you keep it real. And so, you know, just kudos to you. I enjoy when you call in a lot, and that's coming from a gay woman, so whatever that means.
It's all good.
Well,
I appreciate it.
He is our male co-host of the show, so I try to, you know, make sure he has as much of the floor as possible because our women do need to hear more from our males as well. We really do. So I do. I'm thankful that he's there.
And can I say something before you guys go? I want to say to my sister that you all inspire me. And just like you said, well, we disagree at this point. I don't subscribe to your modalities of sexuality or emotional sex, or you don't subscribe to whatever I do. I think that's healthy, and I think that is indicative of growth. And I want you to know I respect you and I respect your opinion, and you make me better. When I talk to my sisters, you guys make me better. You make me able to have tangible conversations with other sisters. So I want you to know I don't walk away from this conversation with any type of foul feelings. I'm better off for it. And I respect you and your opinion, and you make me better. Just by challenging me, you broaden my view and my horizon. So I just want you to know that. And I just want to say hello to the brother. Don't want you to think I'm leaving you out, but I'm a girl. So my whole world revolves around making girls better. You know, that's all I'm saying.
That's cool.
I love it. Thank you. That was beautiful. I love that. And it's a great thing that we can come together and we can discuss our opinions without offending or without feeling offended. You know, we're being respectful, and we're actually
talking.
Absolutely.
And communicating. I feel that same way. Before we go, Mika, I wanted to say to the sister, as always, and the brother, you know, before anything, you are my brother and you are my sister. So it's always love. Before anything else, before gay, straight, whatever, you know what I'm saying, you are my brother and you are my sister. So that's going to be love from day one, always.
Right.
I receive
Wow.
that. Thank you. Yeah.
Yes, I'm loving it. Ah, this is what the show is all about. Well, I appreciate all of you all for listening tonight. Kiwa, did you have anything you want to say before we wrap up the show?
No, I don't. It was a good show. I guess we all learned from each other, and I appreciate that. So it was good. That's all I had.
Yes. I enjoyed it so much, and I'm looking forward to next week's show. Of course, November is going to start our series on having that sex talk with your kids and the different things that we should be discussing with our children regarding sex. So I'm really looking forward to starting that series, and hope you all will join me next Monday, 10 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/WJBR, and join us on Saturdays from 11 until 1 with Brunch in the Basement with Javon. I'm not sure who her musical guest is going to be this week yet, but it will be posted soon. And then just come back with us on Sunday from 6:30 to 8:30, which is the spiritual show, Sunday Evening Shout with Javon. So I hope you all have a good night. We love you, and we thank you all, and take care.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Good night.